Blog Talk Radio.
Dude, remember I go, I don't know what happened, but I condensed my screen down, so hold on, we'll do this to get us going. Hold up, restart.
Soundstripe.
See, you take a couple of weeks off and look what happens. Everything goes crazy, but go ahead and bring us in, Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Scoop Slam Radio. I am your host, Big Mike, and on the ones and twos, we got
he's fired.
The legend, Favi Q. What's going on, Favi?
Dude, I missed it. I don't know what went on over there or whatever, but I got a million calls. People are like, dude, we had so much fun. I heard from American Punk. I heard from Tony Reyes. I heard from AJ Mana, the champion himself. I heard from a bunch of them. They're like, where were you, bro? And I'm like, dude, you know, I was doing something stupid like working or whatever. But, I mean, I even heard, because I talked to Rudo Ram, he said that even his wife came out, who she goes to nothing. But they said she had such a good time, and people were running in the street with the Mexican flag, and somebody brought a bunch of honey and all kinds of stuff. Let me ask you this. Why does this stuff happen when I can't be there, Mike? Well, tell me what was going on.
Man. Hey, I don't know, but you missed. It was a fun day, bro. It really was. It was a fun day.
It must have been.
For those of you guys that don't know, We did a live broadcast this past Sunday at my friend Strong Arm Force. Shout out to Strong Arm Force Security and Jerome Williams. Thank you for allowing us to use your venue. Bro, it was probably you missed it, man. I mean, we had Dunkin' Donuts down the street. You know, everybody kept saying we were going to go to Jenny Donut, but. You know, it looked like a donut shop out of Next Friday, man. You know.
Well, dude, first of all, you can make a whole day right there, because when you and I went out there first to go check it out, I'm like, dude, first of all, there's a lot of traffic that goes through there because that's right by the 91 freeway and Bellflower.
Yep.
And then we're walking around. There's a Jenny's Donuts across the street. There's a Shoe Palace or whatever. Then you have Dunkin' Donuts, which is literally right next door to the studio, and then there's a Golden Corral. Yeah, a Golden Corral,
right,
an In-N-Out Burger, and a Kristen Pitts barbecue. Dude, everybody was like, dude, you missed it. American Punk was running in the street passing out flyers. He almost got hit. We'll start from the beginning. You know, I know you got there, and I was talking to Rulo Ram. He's like, hey, man, you know, we pulled up, and all I heard was Mike cursing, and I said, what happened? He goes, I don't know, the tarp was flying or something. That was what happened.
Trying to put that damn banner up, man.
One of
the screws was bent, so I was upset. I was highly upset. But thankfully, the gentleman that owns the Urban Clothing store next door, he helped me out, and Jerome helped me out. And we got it put up, and we got everything situated, and then Rudo Ram and I sat down and had a conversation. He was happy because he had his coffee, so he didn't lose his mind too much. But, you know, he was waiting for Kyam to get there. You know,
he said he goes, hey, I pulled up, and this is all I heard from Mike. but we have a group messenger, you know, just to stay in touch and everything for the big show that's coming up. And everybody was like, bro, you know, it's getting close. We got to get down there, blah, 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 whatever. So props to the guys that came down, because guys like American Punk are coming from Inland Empire or whatever. So for him to come out and then, well, honestly, and even, dude, to be honest with you, I heard Mikey O'Shea and Sean Black both showed up, tells me that those dudes are looking forward to that show because they've been off the grid for a while. But for them to come out and actually, you know, come to a live broadcast and talk or whatever. So, well, tell me what it was like because, well, first of all, did you have American Punk, Tony Reyes, Sean Black, and Mikey O'Shea all there at the same time or did they come intermittently?
Yeah, no. Actually, American Punk showed up first and then
right.
Tony pulled up. And then as we were conversating in between segments, Mikey O'Shea strolls up, and I'm not even gonna lie, I was shocked. I was like, oh, hell yeah, all right, O'Shea's here.
Yeah.
Which was cool, you know what I mean? I'm
mm-hmm.
He had just woke up and came down, and then, you know, Sean showed up, and, I mean, we just had a blast. We had a young man, I forget his name, but I won't forget what he did. He saw Ruben Ram, you know, sitting there. He saw us talking, and
yeah.
He was like, "Is there wrestling going on here?" And you know, like not here, but we have a show in Hawaiian Gardens, you know, next weekend. And he got all happy and can I get an autograph? And it, you know. Listen to that, and it was like, I got to go to my dad. My dad owns a honey shop down the street, and I got to go there, but I'll be right back. I'm going to buy some tickets. And we were like, okay, so, you know, we did our thing, hanging out, doing a show and everything. And finally, he came back with a box of honey.
Which is expensive.
And he's like, you know, when he did that, we were like, hey, bro, come to the show. We'll sit you front seat, you know, front row, you know. And he was like, I'll be, you know, we'll become the official honey for the PWA. And a couple guys, you know, cut promos for him. And he was all happy, you know.
I thought they were working me when they were going, this guy brought a bunch of honey. And I'm like, what? So then Mike told me, he goes, hey, this is how it paid off. Dude pulled up and you know, his dad owned the thing. So let me, and I guess somebody must have told him, hey, bro, we'll sell you some tickets right now. We have me, dude, I'll be right back. And 9 times out of 10, they don't come back. But I guess he came back and he actually got some tickets. So you guys hooked him up front row.
Yeah, but he came back with a box of honey. And everybody that was there went home with one or two bottles of honey.
Why does this happen when I'm not there? This stuff always goes on when I'm there. Now, if I'd have been there, we'd have been sitting there forever with nothing. But not only do they have people running up and down the streets with Dunkin' Donuts and stuff, the guy actually bought some tickets and came back with some honey, you know, and took a seat. But that's what it's all about, Mike. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, from the two previous shows, and those were learning experiences for us, this was, I think, the whole process of putting this together and having the guys work with us with, you know, seeing what it is that we want to have done, it really made me happy.
Yeah.
And the fact that they showed up like they did and, you know, when we walked them in, I wish you could have been there when they walked into Jerome's place, and I'm like, this is where we're going to do the podcast. They're like, what?
Yeah. What?
We're like, yeah.
That's a nice place,
and even Tony and American Punk cut a promo for another show that they're on, but they cut a promo inside while we were out there. I was out there talking to someone on the radio. But,
well, that's cool.
They're like, oh. Yeah, and then, you know.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Breaking news. Hey, Jessica Nicolette.
Yes.
I'm live on air, and they're telling, because I thought that honey thing was a work. Did you actually get some of that honey that they passed out since you were there?
I did get some with a green lid.
Did you hear that? She goes, Yes, I did. It's got a green lid. Why are they hiding something from me?
I seriously thought
that was a work. Oh, my God. I have it in my hand. This is awesome. Dude, this is the real deal.
The lime. The lime-flavored honey, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. It's got a unique taste to it.
Wow. Let me tell you something real quick. I mean, I got to put this in there. That's got to benefit you, Michael Parks, because as one of the lead singers of the choir on Sunday church, that's got to warm up the vocal cords. Are you hitting them high notes, or how did that work out for you? Or do you have to have some with tea with lemon and honey?
Yeah. You do have to. You have to slowly let the honey go into the tea.
Can you hit us with a little Kirk Franklin right now, or you gotta warm up?
Mugging it. I gotta warm up. Maggie.
Well, it is my objective in this world to get you to sing, I don't know, Kirk Franklin, Are You With Me, or something before you can't do it anymore. But let me take a quick break so I can reset real quick. We'll reset. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about this, man. This, I got to be honest, man. First of all, I thought hardly, you know, to get these guys to come out takes a lot. But for some reason, maybe it's me, maybe you got to get another business partner or something, because I don't show up and everybody comes. Because the last one we had, it was just me, you, Tony Reyes, and American Punk. Well, Kayam came for just a minute, but I don't show up, and then all of a sudden everybody's there. So we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back.
Sounds Tribe.
I gotta tell you, man, I was so flabbergasted that everybody came out and I didn't, that all this was going on while I'm not there, that I couldn't even pull up the Dusty Rhodes stuff or whatever. But real quick for the people listening, as you're here, you're at Pacific Wrestling Alliance Scoop Slam Radio. When I have to load everything up, I for some reason I want to put Scoopy instead of Scoop Slam, but it's Scoop Slam Radio. And Mike and I are talking about they had the big live broadcast over at the studio over there on Bellflower and Artesia. So real quick before we continue, you were able to get a lot of stuff on tape. So if you send that to me, I would really like to upload that so that we can get that up, maybe either Thursday or, if worst case scenario, next week, so that people can hear it. So that's what I'm saying. That's why we do a live broadcast, because if you can't be there, then you can hear it. So now I'm anxious to hear how it went and what went on over there, because it sounded like a good time. So with that being said, when Nicolette came home or whatever, we mess around so much over here, and she's telling me, dude, they were running in the street. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. And we got honey, and I'm like, yeah, okay, honey, you're gonna get honey in a wrestling thing or whatever. But it turned out to be true. So I know you got her, you know, because we ended up adding that bonus with Rudo Ram, Hector Canales, and Nicolette against SoCal Crazy Daryl and Kayakara. So go ahead and continue, but just please remind me, because Nicolette ordered some gear from Kiros, and we didn't think it was going to make it, but it actually did. It came yesterday. It's some pretty cool gear, so we'll talk about that. But so, okay, you got Mikey O'Shea, you got Sean Black, you got Tony Reyes, you got American Punk all there at the same time. So, I mean, kind of tell me one, because, you know, it's shaping up. I even put in the group text that the ticket sales are starting to do really well. People are interested in seeing what happens. So they can't actually meet, but to me it seems like a really hard hill to climb, because you got Tony Reyes and American Punk, right? They got Mikey O'Shea and Sean Black in the first round. So, you know, whoever wins, you know, has to keep you know, gets to go on. And then in the second round, it's going to be, you know, AJ Mana and Vito against Guyam and Fletcher Fugaz. So you had Guyam there. Tell me what you guys talked about, because, you know, I've talked to Guyam a few times. Not only does he have this problem with Rudo Ram, from what I hear, but he's like, dude, nobody's giving us a chance. But, you know, people seem to forget that we've won a few cups ourselves in some tag team tournaments ourselves. So tell me a little bit about Woody, because I know he's a little burnt that people aren't really giving him a chance, because they got Vito and what's his name, AJ, in the first round.
No, he's really excited about this tournament, and it's actually fueling him, the fact that people aren't giving him and Fletch Fugaz a chance. He's like, you know, they don't understand. You know how he gets. He's like, you know, it's gonna be turbo power. And I'm like, man, all right, I got you, bro. So he's excited. He can't wait. He really can't wait. And so, well, you know, it's just good.
The thing that's good about that is, you know, we talk a lot about the finished product, but, you know, he's been retired or whatever for a little while. In other words, he's been able to give 100% into just training and getting ready. He's been training over there at it used to be Gil's Garage was the big place, but now it's another place, Medina's or something like that, that they've been training. So he's been training at least 2 to 3 times a week, you know, so he's going to be in shape. And then Fletcher Fugaz, he has shoulder surgery a while back. He's been back for a while now, but he's been, you know how when you come back, you either go one way. You're either going to just turn into mush, or you're going to keep progressing and you get that shoulder better and keep going to the gym and working out. So they're going to catch them at 100%. So to me, the people who are counting out Fletcher Fugaz, okay, I've got another thing coming. I mean, I know AJ and Vito are a great team, but to me, and you give me your thoughts on this, those two dudes, to me, that's a heck of a team, but it seems like they clash because, you know, AJ's on the cusp. You know, he's been working everywhere. Knox Pro, he's the Lucha Libre Alliance, you know, a singles champion. And then you got Vito, who's already booked in AAA to one of their big shows. So you kind of got – you tell me, you think they're going to be able to put all that crap aside and work together? Because that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, something goes wrong, Guyam and Fletcher Fugaz will put it on him real quick and it'll be over with. So give me your thoughts on that part alone.
Well, I mean, to piggyback on what you just said, you know, yes, both of them have attitude. Both of them are fighting warriors and actually have a history. And, you know, both of them have a chip on their shoulder. But the thing is, they have to work together, because if they don't, they're out of the tournament.
Right.
So they're going to have to put that aside, because if they don't, they're going to lose the first round. And then that's going to you know, make it seem even that much worse, the fact that these two guys couldn't gel together, come together, and you know, win a match. So, you know, and it would be, to me, it would be an upset if they lost.
Yeah, I would agree.
It would be a huge upset if they lost. So we'll see where their mindset is next Saturday night.
Yeah,
and see if they can gel together, or if we're gonna have a big cat fight.
Yeah, but then to have, you know, two teams there at the same time, you know, had to be. It's the same thing. It's either one of two ways. Either they're going to act professional or whatever. Because I've talked – Sean Black and Mikey O'Shea, there couldn't be any more two opposites. Mikey O'Shea's crazy. He's always, you know, telling everybody, this girl's too quiet and blah, blah. And then you got Sean Black, who I call the smooth operator. He just – you know what I mean? He just gets in there and gets it. But they do – that's a proven team. They've worked well before. You know, they've been working well as the – he said, we're not the urban juggernauts. We're the something other – what do they call each other when they're together? Just the juggernauts?
Yeah, or as O'Shea – as Mike O'Shea said, just call us the jugs. I'm like,
and then Tony Ray is an American Punk, same thing. Do they, you know, and I teamed with American Punk back when he was Buddy Walker back in the Rev Pro days or whatever. And he, you know, the thing about him is he's worked a lot of lucha, because back then when we were first coming up in the business, there wasn't very many American shows. There was a lot of lucha. So if you didn't know in lucha or weren't able to work lucha shows, you weren't working. So, you know, he's got that advantage as well. So the point I'm trying to make is when Mike and I first sat down and we talked about it, we started putting teams together and we said, we're like, dude, so it kind of mushroomed into what it is now. Is people want to see this and go, dude, well, let's see what can AJ and them hold it together against a proven team like, you know, Fletch Wilgotham and Mikey O'Shea and Sean Black coming, reuniting as the Jugs or the Juggernauts or whatever against Tony Reyes and American Punk, who've been doing damage in 3PW. You know, it all makes for an interesting evening to see who's going to make it to the finals, because not only do you get to see who wins those two matches, whoever wins goes on, and then you're going to see the end all to be all in the main event. So real quick, Mike, give your prediction. Go ahead.
Wait, let me tell you what happened.
At the broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Things got a little chippy.
I figured that.
Between the Jugs and the West Coast Rednecks. And to the point where, you know, Mikey O'Shea picked up a chair, and I'm like, not here. You guys got to wait till next week. You know what I mean? And, you know, Punk and Tony were talking a whole bunch of crap, but they were ready to go. They were ready to go right there on the sidewalk, and I'm like, you can't do it here, you guys.
Yeah, not there.
You know, and of course you got Lil Ram in the background egging them on. Yeah, come on. It's like,
well,
shut up.
That's what Nicolette was telling me. She goes, I thought AJ was going to get up out of the chair and go after him, because he kept going, ah, someone. And do you know how the Samoans go, wow.
And that's what Lil Ram was doing. And I'm like, what? And AJ's looking at him going, bro, what the hell is he doing? And I'm like, I have no idea. Just let him be. Just let him be.
I'm telling you, man, that dude is legit nuts. Got paperwork and everything, man. But I'm just, man, it just sucks that I missed it, because, you know, from what I hear, everybody had a good time, and it's very rare that we get them all together, you know, at the same time. And then even for AJ to come, and you have, because I saw some of the pictures online, and I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was good. It's good that it just shows that the interest is there.
It was a blast. And then, you know, to show them where we will quite possibly have a venue right there on Bellflower Boulevard to do shows. They're like, Mike O'Shea looked at me, he goes, nobody's running in Bellflower.
Yeah.
And I'm like, exactly. He's like, oh, nobody's running here since 2010. And I'm like, exactly. So, you know,
that's a good spot too, Mike, because it's right. It's right by the 91 freeway, which all the freeways, you know, kind of connect to, or what, that's one of the main freeways or whatever. And then which comes into play too, is if you go on the back, there's plenty of parking and stuff that, cause people look for that. You know what I mean? So I think that's a great venue, but anyways, go ahead, Mike. I had to get that in, cause I thought it was awesome.
No, because we could run a show inside. I've already been told we can run a show out in the park in the back. So it's like we'll have an opportunity to spread our wings over there in Bellflower in the near future. But you know, that's another story for another day.
Yeah, maybe when we have the World Cup champions, we can have them defend that bad boy or whatever. But real quick, give me your prediction, because I honestly, just for the interest and what they've been doing, you know, I got to go with the West Coast Rednecks, because American Punk and Tony have been almost at everything that we've done. They've shown up to all the live broadcasts. They've shown up to, you know, the meet and greets and all that, and they're letting people know, hey, dude, we're coming. We want this PWA Cup. We want that trophy in our trophy case so that people will know. But with the teams that we got, it's like that's a tough hill to climb. But I got to go with them, man. Those guys seem hungry, man. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when I spoke with Tony at the Lucha Libre Alliance at Hawaiian Garden,
uh-huh.
He was like, hey, man. He was like, hey, I got one more run in me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. And, you know, Punk is, he's hyped and he's ready to go. But
yeah,
as much as I want to, it would be normal for me to say I'm picking AJ and Vito.
Yeah.
But my dark horse to win it all is the Jugs. I'm gonna pick the Jugs.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Jugs myself. But
yeah,
you know,
I'm going with the Jugs.
Well, them too, to come down, you know, to get them out, you know, to come out is a lot, you know, because they don't really go to much. They do their own things or whatever, but that just shows that they're just as hungry. You know what I mean?
Speaking of that, not only did you miss our live broadcast, but we actually did some filming with Sean Black for the first time. We got on his little podcast. You know, we've been waiting
to
do
that. Oh, for Amped Up?
For Amped Up.
Ah,
we did a little segment for Amped
it.
Up,
and
you weren't even there, bro.
Dude, man, that's it. Real quick, Amped Up, I'm going to get on you, man. I've been trying to – well, in Sean's defense, he's always calling me going, bro, just come down, dude, any day or whatever. And I've been slacking, so I got to – you know, that is my fault. But, hey, again, I mean, it just goes to show, man, people are ready for this. And then let's go ahead and we'll take another quick break. I'm going with the West Coast Rednecks because for some reason those dudes seem like they're really super hungry. But then when Mike talks about the Jugs, it's like, dude – and they're meeting in the first round. So somebody's going to go to the finals or whatever, you know. So that's going to be awesome. So let me take another quick break. I'll reset, and then we'll talk about the other matches that we got going on, and then we'll do some news. How about that?
Got it. Let's do
it. All right, be right back. Hang on, everybody.
It's unreal. You know what? He is so pretty. It's unreal.
And you know, he's talking about Magnus TA. I know he is.
I had to do that. I had to do that twice. He is so pretty. And it's funny because it seems like what's his name? What's the cowboy's name over there in AEW? Cowboy Shift. He's looking like Magnum TA now. He can grow that big mustache or whatever.
No.
And when I saw him, I'm like, dude, is he trying to look like Magnum TA? Because I'm going to be his manager, and I'm going to say, he is so pretty. Look, ain't he pretty?
Oh.
It was real quick before we continue. I don't know why, but Mike and I were watching the WCW. I don't know what was going on or whatever because we usually were working or whatever. But we just happened to be watching it together, and it was when Dusty Rhodes comes out of nowhere to do commentary, and he goes, "Did you miss me, baby?" And I don't know why, but we couldn't stop laughing. I thought that was and both of us looked at each other and just started laughing. "Did you miss me, baby?" And we probably said that a million times. after that, but we're going to get back to the show. But, dude, it just what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you know, it's never ending. I mean, it just you can go through that whole thing, and there's just new ones, and that'll pop you. You know what I mean? And even though ain't he pretty, he is just so pretty.
Man, I mean,
you think, Mike, in this lifetime that we have, because I've lived through the 70s, 80s, 90s, and in the early 2000s, I have never seen anybody with more charisma that can pop a crowd. And when you can sell Madison Square Garden out 9 times with no internet and no cable or whatever, I mean, that man, you would have to put him on the Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling, correct?
Oh, man, you better put him up there.
Yeah.
You better put him up there because, you know, just watch him. That's all I can tell you. Just watch him.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody. I don't care who you are today. There's nobody that has the charisma that man carried. I mean, it was just watching his stuff now makes me smile like I did when I was a kid. Because it's that's just Dusty.
And
you know,
the mark of a good wrestler or somebody who can say, you know, hey man, that guy was the best, is when somebody like Ric Flair says, dude, we didn't even have to go over anything. We would just go. He goes, we'd meet up at the arena and we'd meet up in the ring. And it never had to say a word or whatever. It was just magic. And then the same thing with superstar Billy Graham. He goes, if it wasn't for him, that, you know, he was the one who made me look like $1 million or whatever. And I was like, you look at superstar Billy Graham with that physique and you're like, damn. But then just Dusty, when he would make his comeback and would put his hands behind his back or whatever, the people would just go, oh shoot, here it comes or whatever.
Look,
and it was just amazing.
I was watching, I saw a clip of old Houston wrestling, and Butch Reed was the North American heavyweight champ, and he was going to be facing Dusty Rhodes the following September. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly how over this man was. He told Botch and the whole national television and Butch Reed, he said, I'll black you. And you know what I'm saying. He said, I'm going to out-black you, Butch Reed. I'm going to out-black you. Like, I'm more brother than you are. And I'm sitting there, I'm rolling, because he's just talking, and he says, and I'll even out-black you. How do you do that?
And I believe this is what he told him.
You ain't messing with Chuck Jay. You messing with the big money.
I got a stomach ache. You messing with the ditch and the big money.
The big money.
I'm telling you, man, it just doesn't end. But anyways, and God bless Dusty Rhodes. Yeah, I don't think there will ever be another. I mean, luckily, Mike, you and I were able to grow up in an era where we got to see Superstation TBS, and I would just wait. Dusty Rhodes was great, but I would wait for Ric Flair just to come out and go, yeah, I had some kid from Duke Park, Malenkin. I mean, it was just amazing. And it was just lucky that them two were like in their prime at the same time, because that made, you know, it what it was. So hopefully with the Pacific Wrestling Alliance, we can try to get as close to we can as that. But, you know, not only do we have the tournament that's amazing, you know, they're going to start off with Maligno and Príncipe Peru in the first round. So I talked to Príncipe Peru. Dude, I'm not going to say even close to Rudo Ram as far as like annoying me and calling me and talking to me or whatever, but he calls me all the time. He's like, bro, you know, I got this going on and I want to do, and is it cool if I bring the Peruvian flag? And I'm like, dude, absolutely. I'm like, you started off, bro. You're going to set the pace. I got this, bro. I'm telling you, I got this. And a Peruvian, the Spanish, like my Spanish has to be really slow. I like, that's why I like Vampiro's podcast, because his Spanish is so slow, you know, that I'm able to understand a lot better. But Peru speaks 100 miles an hour. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Now, Maligno, you want to talk about a smooth operator? I've known Maligno for years, and I think I've heard him say about 6 words. You know, I mean, the dude just does not, he goes out there, he gets a job done. But like we were talking about before, you got Príncipe Peru that's hungry, and then you got Maligno who feels like, even though he won't say it in so many words, he's got something to prove, because they had a big match, you know, when they were defending the title. So I'm thinking he's going to want to really, you know, pump up the volume and go after him. So, Mike, you're going to go with the youth of Príncipe Peru, or are you going to go with the well-seasoned veterinary or veteranist Maligno?
Well, you know what? This is Príncipe Peru's second show with us, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So he's been here. This is Maligno's first time.
Yeah.
So I think he's gonna want to, you know, impress.
Oh yeah.
Another fan base. So
yeah.
You know, he might have the edge on Príncipe Peru on this one.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. That's a toss up.
Yeah, but it's
that's a toss
it
up
makes
for me.
Again, and it makes for great, you know, for a great show, because they got to start off and set the pace or whatever. But then, you know, I talked to Rulo Ram constantly or whatever, and we were talking about that too. You know, it goes, you know, for my wife to come down and check out the live broadcast, you know, because I guess you don't see her that much, because she works at a Walmart in, I want to say San Ysidro or National City, if I'm not mistaken. So that's a drive, you know, or whatever. So
yeah, it is.
He was like, yeah. And then, you know, when I was talking to him, he goes, you know, this kid, you know, Daryl, Legend Daryl, has been working for Inoki Dojo, and then he, you know, he's branching out, and he's talking about New Japan. He thinks that he's going up against, you know, not for lack of a better term, because, you know, because he's always talking in Spanish, a clown or whatever. He goes, he has no idea what I'm bringing. He thinks it's going to be like another day at the office, blah, 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 whatever. He goes, I'm going to put it on him. He goes, let's see. He talks a big game. He's always posting pictures online about going to the gym, and I'm at 24-hour fitness. And he goes, 24-hour fitness, ani madre way. He goes, I'm going to show him. So, and then you got Hector who is, you know, he's halfway between an Exotico and Chippendales. And the dudes, but then when you see him, he's when you and I were at Lucha Libre Alliance, we got there early, you know, because we want to talk to Guyana or whatever. And Hector was working out. I mean, he said, hey, how long do I got? He goes, oh, dude, you got plenty of time. He goes, well, I'm going to work out. So he was, you know, so don't let that persona fool you. He can go. But then, you know, and then you throw in 1,000% knockout Nicolette, who has been, you know, hasn't been working as much in the ring, but has still been training. She's been on the treadmill almost every day when she comes home. Or whatever. So I'm like, what, you go, no. And then she got some, I was telling you, she got some new gear from Kiros or whatever. So that's another one that's taking it serious. You know what I mean? Because she heard SoCal Crazy and Kayakara were in Japan. It's a new version of Michinoku Pro, because I know he's involved in it or whatever. So that's huge. So it made her say, baby, I better get myself in shape or whatever. So you mix all that together. And I mean, give me your thoughts, Mike. To me, it's a toss up.
Well, it is, and you know, Sunday, Nicolette mentioned that this is the first ever intergender match,
right,
in PWA history. So we're making a little bit of history,
yeah,
this Saturday night, and you know, it's gonna be, you know, it's my first time seeing SoCal Crazy,
yeah.
So I'm excited about that matchup. With those,
yeah,
with those 6,
just to
see, you know, I want to see Hector and SoCal Crazy go at it.
Right.
I want to see Nicolette and Kyra go at it. I want to see, because, you know, Rudo told me on Sunday, he's like, you know, in no small words, I'm going to beat that kid up. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, he's like, no, that means, he used some words I can't use on radio, but
he's
like, I'm going to beat that kid up.
when I talk to him, he's like, bro, I don't want to be one of those grizzled old veterans or whatever. He goes, but you know how it was back in the day. He goes, it was hard for me to get over here. That's why not that many people know about me. And I'm like, dude, you're preaching to the choir. I mean, when I took a splash from the headhunters, I thought I was going to die. I mean, it was like a building falling on you or whatever. And then like guys like Solar, when Kiss and Carisma had me with them, they have this chip on their shoulder. Oh, here comes this young kid that thinks he's, you know, he's all bad or whatever. And he cracked me with the chair. And, you know, Solar isn't used to like known for that. He's more technical or whatever. But I got him. And when we went to lock up, instead of locking up with him, I pushed that hand over, got him from behind him, bah, got that left from, and he didn't like that. And the thing that got me was we were working, I can't remember what was going on or whatever, but he got me to where I was down, but like my hands and my head were outside the ropes. You know what I mean? So I couldn't protect myself. And before I knew it, ping, right in
his head. Wow.
And I was like, holy, like I didn't expect it. So I was buzzed. Big time, but we went on with the match or whatever. So that's what I'm thinking about Rudo Ram. Maybe he's gotten to that, but oh, okay, this young kid thinks that he's, you know, he's hot stuff or whatever. He's gonna put it on him. So, you know, at least
Bobby,
with Michael Parks, go ahead.
Look, he was so mad. He was like a DC Power Ranger, whatever he calls himself, and I'm like, hey.
Take it easy.
Take it easy, my friend. My
yeah. Yeah, but then
I'm glad Legendary didn't show up Sunday because he might have got thrown out in the traffic.
Yeah,
Little Ram might have threw him out in traffic. I'm glad. Yeah,
he would have waited to put him out there in the middle of it. But again,
exactly.
it makes for a great show. So, with all that being said, as well, you know, I've gotten a lot of buzz. I've got a lot of messages and a lot of emails and stuff like that asking about, you know, Guy Cool against Rickster. Because I get these, they went against each other before in tags or whatever, but, you know, they're going up against each other one-on-one. Now, I got to tell you, you know, Guy Cool has changed a little bit. When he was working Rudo against Gino Rivera from Albuquerque, dude, that was a different side of Guy Cool that I haven't seen. I mean, you can ask Nicolette. I wish I was there because I would have said, hey, tell him when we went and saw Guy Cool against Gino Rivera at UEW. And he, dude, he surprised me. You know, I was like, wow. So when it's a specific dance partner, I mean, that dude steps up. But then, you know, Rickster is just, he reminds me of a cross between somebody on crystal meth and Bruiser Brody. Because he looks like, but he's 100 miles an hour. I mean, from the time he comes out from the curtain to the time he gets to the ring, it's 100 miles an hour. Now, I got to go with Guy Cool only for the fact that I've seen him on a different level, okay? And I think that level is what's going to come out in this show or whatever. So I think he's gonna put it on him. But I can't take nothing away from Rickster because when you can go 100 miles an hour, that leaves a lot to be said. Give me your thoughts on that bad boy.
Well, honestly, you know, they're both Tommy Rich fired up for this because it's this is their first time singles meeting. Never happened before, and we're bringing it to you guys because this is what everybody wanted to see, and this is a matchup that, you know, Bobby and I wanted to put together, and when we told the guys, hey, you guys are going to wrestle each other, they were like, oh.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. So they're fired up. I got to go with Rickster, bro. I got to go with Rickster.
Yeah.
You know, I love his energy. I love what he brings to the table. Nothing against Guy Cool. He does his thing. And he's from Long Beach, so I gotta rep that. But
I gotta go
with Richard, man. Richard's gonna come out with the W on this one.
And another good reason to go with Rickster is he has a big family, and they come out to all his shows. so you know they're going to be there rooting them on or whatever. So that works out for us. But let me we're running up against the clock, so let me take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to ask you a couple questions in the news because it was very interesting. But for the people listening to this, don't forget, big, huge show. This is it. We're in a home stretch. We're coming around the corner. It's Pacific Wrestling Alliance World Cup. It's Saturday, February 10th. It's going to be at the Metroflex Gym. It's at 12551 East Carson Street. Doors open at 6. First match is going to be on 7. And let me tell you, Michael Parks does not mess around. When he says we're starting at 7, bell time is 7. So I highly suggest that you get your quesadillas and your birongas and your snacks and be in your seat by 7 o'clock because it's going to start off with the bang. So let me take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody. Oh, let me find the first one. There we go. Oh, wait, push the wrong button.
Magnum and those fur coats.
It just doesn't stop. And you're nothing as bad as this right here. And Ric Flair said, he goes, dude, if I would buy a fur coat, he'd buy one just like it. He goes, if I bought a house, he'd have to buy one right next door and it'd have to be bigger or whatever. But
exactly.
It's just the pure awesomeness. But real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at PWA. Scoop Slam Radio. Make sure you check us out. Talk a little bit about the show that's coming right around the corner. Hopefully all the stuff that Mike was able to get on tape. First of all, I'm the worst computer person in the world, but we're going to make it work. And we'll try to get that out to some of the people who
–
you're worse than me.
I'm right there with you. Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm computer illiterate.
Well, we're going to make it work, bro. We're working hard to get this thing out there, and I think it's going to pay off big time. And it already has, because people who don't even come out are coming out, you know, just to come to the live broadcast. But I got to tell you, bro, it's very rare that I get a Saturday off, you know. Usually at my shoot job or whatever, if somebody's like, hey, bro, can you work for me, whatever, even if it's a couple hours, I'm like, yeah, cool, you know, I'll go ahead and take it. You got to take it when you can get it. But I was home Saturday. And I was watching, a lot of people were watching the Royal Rumble, but I was watching AEW because I have this like, God, please let this be, let us see some luchas and some, you know, whatever, some good matchups or whatever. So Willie Mack and Eddie Kingston wrestled. And I said, oh, you know, all right, Willie Mack, for the people who don't know, man, that kid, when I was working at WPW for Martin Marin at the Anaheim Marketplace, this kid would take the bus from South Central L.A. and work luchas, and then take that bus back home at night. That's how bad he wanted it. So I was so happy to see him in a big match against Eddie Kingston or whatever. Now, Mike, did you happen to see that match, or did you happen to see what happened to Willie Mack in that match?
No, because I was actually watching the Royal Rumble.
You know, you've seen the physique on Willie Mack. I'll try to send you. It's been all over my social media. He went to do that standing moonsault, which he hits perfect. I don't know what happened, if he was too close or whatever, but dude, he didn't even get halfway rotated and landed directly on his neck. I mean, he hit him.
No.
He went to flip and he hit him to where like his neck, like the left side of Eddie Kingston's shoulder went right into the back of his neck because he didn't rotate enough. And I looked and I went, oh, my God, he's dead. He is dead or in a wheelchair or whatever. Don't know if he just got a stinger, but he shook it off and finished the match. But, I mean, I thought it was over, dude. when we were training, check it out. If you go on your social media, you'll find it, or just put Willie Mack neck break or whatever, you'll see it, or Willie Mack against Eddie Kingston. But you know, I'll give you a good example. The guy who used to announce for Alberto Del Rio, Ricardo Rodriguez, he was training at Del O's when I was training people there, and we would do these little spot shows, you know, or whatever, to just to get them some in front of the audience. So we're doing a little spot show, you know, whatever. There's about maybe 15, 20 people there at De La O's. And, you know, I'm telling them, okay, work on this, blah, 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 whatever. Dude, he flies over the top rope and lands directly on his head. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, bro, I wanted to pop the crowd or whatever. I go, dude, you do that when you get to WWE. You know, you're here at a spot show. Maybe if you're going to get $8 to $10, you're lucky or whatever, but we're just trying to get your feet wet and you're doing, you know, mean mascaras or whatever. Nah, bro, or whatever. So my point is I'm trying to tell him, hey, when you get there, that's when you do it. You know, when you're getting a shot to get in WWE. But now Willie Mack, that was his, you know, he's getting the exposure. So he goes to do that standing moonsault and almost breaks his neck. So you can't blame him for doing it, but I mean, Mike, you got to see it, bro. But you kind of get what I'm saying. I mean, you can't blame him because, you know, he's spotlight match on AEW, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll look it up when we get done.
Yeah. I guarantee when you see it, you're going to text me. Bro, I thought he was dead. So, you know, thank goodness he was able to finish the match or whatever. And he, you know, God bless that dude, man. And please give him a push. He can go. He did a lot of good work in Lucha Underground, MLW. He can go. And he's very well-rounded or whatever. If you look, it's like Dusty Rhodes. You look at him, he's got a similar physique, but he can go, man. That dude's And it was funny because we saw him at WrestleCon. And I'm like, what's up, bro? And he's like, oh, first I didn't think he was going to, you know, recognize. He goes, hey, Fabi, what's up, man? He goes, hey, can you do the helicopter? And I'm like, the helicopter? What the hell are you talking about? He goes, remember when you used to go in there and go, shh. Like, well, first of all, Mike, dude, you know, when you would come over for the pay-per-views, I mean, we would have a big bag of Redman Gold Blend marinated in Jack Daniels and we'd chew and spit all night. And then, you know, after a while, you got to stop because you get, you know, so me, only when it hits really hard, you know, I have a dip or whatever. But let me tell you, and I chew the Bandits because I don't want that crap all in my teeth. Let me tell you something.
Right.
Willie Mack walks up to me at WrestleCon. And not only did he have a full dip in the bottom of his mouth, he had a full dip on the top. I mean,
no way.
I'm like, dude, I thought I was bad. He goes, I got a couple of cans, bro. You want a dip or whatever? And I'm like, I'm looking at him. Man, this guy's got two full. Yeah, let me get a little bit of that, bro. So he's legit crazy to begin with, but, you know, you got to be careful. So the second thing, you know, as I got older, I'll tell you this too. I was working a match and I went to pick up JBD to give him the Michinoku driver, and he didn't get light for me. This is I'm going to say maybe a little less than a year ago, and he didn't get light for me. So when I turned him to slam him, I thought I tore my bicep, but I just strained it. But as you get older, you know, your muscles don't react like they used to. And I was scared to death. I started thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be out of work or whatever. But luckily some of the doctors from my work came and he's like, no, but it's a strain. He goes, if it was torn, you'd believe me, this whole thing would be black and blue. Okay, cool. So, you know, CM Punk tore his tricep. Hugo Savinovich, I was watching him yesterday and he goes, yeah, you know, that tricep is torn. He's going to go see Dr. Andrews. You know, he's going to have to get surgery. So it kind of ruined the whole plans. Like he was going to wrestle,
right.
I don't know, Seth Rollins or somebody at WrestleMania. But, you know, what are they going to do now? I mean, that's what happens. You put all this money into a certain wrestler. You got to understand that they might get hurt and it might not happen. So first of all, what do you think about that and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, now they're going to have to lure The Rock out of retirement.
Oh.
And he and Roman are going to have to main event WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the only way. Well, that's the only way you're gonna make that. I mean, because that's gonna be money if it happens.
Oh, dude, that's gonna break records.
Oh.
If can you imagine if you let Rock go over and become the new head of the table and like teach the youngin what's up? Oh, dude, that's gonna break. That I mean, first of all, you think they'll be able to do it?
Oh yeah.
Well, I was talking to The Rock not too long ago, and he told me, "Yeah, bro, I think I'm gonna come out of retirement." Did I ever tell you I got a call to go work out with them? They had three guys that I don't know. They were from Texas or something that I had never even seen or whatever. How I got involved, I don't know, but they gave me a call. I got a call from Rick Bassman. He said, "Hey, bro. They need some people to work out with Rock. He's just going to come work out. It's going to be real easy, blah, 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 whatever. They're going to pay $500. It's going to be for about an hour. I'm there." So we went and we waited and we waited and we waited and we waited. And when you see Bassman come in, he goes, "He ain't coming." And I said, "But are we still going to get paid?" "No, he was going to pay you." Okay. Big fat waste of time. So, anyways, that was neither here nor there, but that would be a good matchup, bro. I'm telling you, that would break some records.
It would, but I wanted to talk to you about what happened at Royal Rumble.
Ugh.
And no, I'm not even going to talk about matches. I want to talk about Jordynne Grace coming out and.
Oh.
Repping TNA.
Yeah, I saw that.
Dude, you know what? Hats off to Triple H.
It's about time.
You know, he's for showcasing other, because when she got in that ring, man, I was like, oh, because they call her Big Mama Pump. And she got in there and she started tearing ass, and it was like, something, it was totally different than what you see the women of WWE do.
Yeah.
But then, dude, when Jade Cargill came out, and I know you don't like it, but when she and the EST stood in the ring, you know, everybody wants to see her and Bianca Belair go.
Yeah, go at it. Yeah, that's money.
And the fact that they were standing there staring at each other and looking in the crowd, and people were going apeshit. And I'm like, this is what you've been waiting for.
Yeah.
This is that moment. So that's what got me. Seeing Jordynne Grace there. Seeing Naomi come back and get the reaction that she did, So I mean, that was cool, you know, because it kind of overshadowed the other news, you know, the news about Vince and Brock Lesnar.
Whoa!
I'm like, dude, that's ridiculous.
When I heard all that, this was what I thought about it.
He is the baddest human being on 2 feet. You understand what I'm saying?
I don't want to say he's the baddest who came on 2 feet, but, you know,
I got one more.
Go ahead. Is there one more?
One more. Tomorrow, which is actually today over in Japan, is the last day Okada is in New Japan.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
His contract is up today.
Yeah.
I'm saying today because today over Japan.
Yeah.
So he's done with New Japan.
Well, I would, you know, to be honest with you, I'd be, oh, dude, that is huge. And he's going over to TNA. And I saw him work over there, whatever. He went up against Moose and hit him with a dropkick. That was beautiful, by the way. But, dude, after seeing Josh Alexander and Will Ospreay, I'm like, man, that was a match and a half. And I think that brought up Josh Alexander too. I mean, because I knew he was good, but I mean, when I saw that match, I'm like, dude, I thought somebody was gonna die. I mean, they really went at it. Well, give me, you know,
I like him.
It.
I like him a lot.
Yeah, so you own it. Would you put your money? Say, look, bro, I can only choose one. Am I gonna go with Will Ospreay? Am I gonna go with Okada? And you know, right now, especially as hot as he is, I've got to go with Okada. I mean, with Will Ospreay, right?
I don't know, bro.
But now, when I saw him against Moose, that was a good matchup, and they delivered. I mean, he hit him with a drop kick. Okada hit him with a drop kick. I go, oh shit, that now that's sending a message or whatever. Was pretty good. So go ahead.
It's just something about the Rainmaker.
Yeah,
you know. He has his own type of charisma,
yeah.
You know that a lot of guys don't have.
Yeah,
he has that it factor that a lot of guys are really trying to work their butts off to get to, and we got to see what's going to happen.
Well, we're running up against the clock, so I got to take us to the promised land. But let me tell you something. You bring Okada, and if they got a good working relationship with AEW, which I don't know how that stands right now, I would definitely pay money to see Okada against Takeshita from AEW. I mean, I think, dude, that would blow the roof off that. The Takeshita, I don't know what they're doing, what they're waiting for. Put the belt on that dude. That dude will take you to – I love Samoa Joe. So do you, Mike. I know you do. Good friend, yeah. Or whatever. But you put that belt on Takeshita, he's going to take you to the promised land. He can go. And I think he can go with anybody. And if you're one of your pay-per-views in London or whatever is Takeshita against Okada, oh, my goodness, I think that would be money in the bank. What do you think about that before we get out of here?
Yeah, that would be a match I would enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy seeing. Yeah. Maybe one day they can put that together.
Yeah. Well, hold on real quick. Let me do a public service submission. Tony Khan. Yes, me, Fabi. Do me a favor, bro. Let the leash off Takeshita, man. Come on, bro. I know you football and you think you know what you're doing. Let him go. Let Takeshita. Don Callis, ani madre way. Let him spread his wings. He will take you to the promised land. You put that belt on him, he can go against Okada, Kenny Omega, Cesaro, any of those dudes, and he will make you proud. All right, listen to us. We know what we're talking about. All right. Anyways, bro, hey, for the people listening to us, we're almost there. We're right around the corner. Almost all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. We're ready for September 10th. What am I, on a different planet? So February 10th, it's going to be Saturday night. It's going to be at the Metroplex. I call it the sports complex because it's not just a gym. They do so much over there. It's ridiculous. It's at 12551 East Carson Street. Doors are going to open at 6. First match is at 7. We got meet and greet. We got food. We got drink. We got everything over there. You know, you can come and meet the wrestlers. Merch tables. A lot of guys are going to come bring their merch or whatever. So you want to get there early so you can check it out. Family atmosphere. Feel free to bring the kids. We got a lot of pre-tickets sold, which is very rare in this business. So a lot of people are looking forward to this big World Cup. So make sure you check it out. Mike, social media, PWA official at Instagram?
PWA underscore official at Instagram. Go to Wix and type in PWA to go to our website. We are going to be putting stuff on there. So more information on that. But we do have a website now, so we're getting all our ducks in a row, bro. And
yeah.
And this show's really gonna help us kick things off. So, folks,
yeah,
you can go to Eventbrite, pick up tickets, type in PWA World Cup, it'll shoot you right there to the link. Purchase your tickets, $20 for adults, $10 for kids. Come and enjoy yourself. We're gonna have one hell of a night of pro wrestling. A history-making night in pro wrestling, and it's going down at the Metroplex Sports Complex in the Wine Garden.
It's going to be slamming, man. I mean, it's been a team effort, and we've been really working hard to get this bet. It sucks that I didn't get to go to the live broadcast and a bunch of people went, but hey, hopefully there'll be another one and I can make that one. So with all that being said, we look forward to seeing it. We'll keep everybody posted if we can upload the all the interviews that Mike got over there on Bellflower and Artesia. So we'll keep everybody posted. Mike, I will see you very soon. And we'll keep everybody. All right, my man?
All right, everybody, you guys have a wonderful night, and we will talk to you later.
Right on.